Good morning. I'd like to acknowledge fellow council members Gary Kespel and Barbara Hoppe. I don't know that there are any other council members here. With great pleasure, I'm announcing a solution to the City of Columbia's substantial employee pension liability. I commend City Manager Mike Mathis for this achievement. Mr. Mathis successfully led City Finance Director John Blattle and representatives of the city's employee groups through this difficult process. I cannot emphasize enough how this agreement stabilizes the financial future for the City of Columbia, the city's employees, and the citizens of Columbia. Just over 2 years ago, when I took office as Columbia's mayor, I was surprised and dismayed at the condition of the city's employee pension plans. In my opinion, there was a lack of engagement by city officials at the growing gap between promises made to employees and the money to fund those promises. The City of Columbia's financial problem was not unique. Throughout the United States, pension promises made to state and local government workers continue to be at risk. These promises are threatened because the funds that support these promises have failed to grow as projected. Expedient politics has allowed politicians to kick the can down the road to future generations of taxpayers and employees. As a result, municipal bankruptcy is all too common in today's news. In September of 2010, I asked a group of Mid-Missourians to review the status of the city's employee pension funds. I appointed a 9-member task force comprised of persons of stature and integrity who had knowledge and experience in the financial industry. The Mayor's Pension Review Task Force included 3 representatives of city employees. The task force consisted of Steve Yocum, Executive Director, Public School and Education Employee Retirement Systems of Missouri; Steve Ertle, President and CEO, Boone County National Bank; Brad Frazier, President, Columbia Firefighters Local 1055; Teresa Malady, President, Commerce Bank; Michael Stalo, Vice President, Operations State Farm Insurance; John Sunbolt, Sunbolt Financial; Tim Thomason, Columbia Police Officers Association; Bob Wagner, Chairman and CEO, Columbia Insurance Group and Trustee, Boone Hospital Center; and Gary Maiden, representing Missouri Local Government Employees Retirement System. I asked the task force 2 fundamental questions. Number 1, what is the financial condition and outlook of the city's employee pension plans? Number 2, what remedies can stabilize the city's employee pension plans? The Mayor's Pension Review Task Force issued its report in September of 2011. The task force concluded the following. The firefighters' pension fund was funded at 50%. This means that the firefighters' pension fund had 50 cents for every dollar promised. The police pension fund was funded at 51%. This means that the police pension fund had 51 cents for every dollar promised. The utilities pension fund was funded at 58%. 58 cents for every dollar promised. The general employee pension fund was funded at 71%. The City of Columbia had made $270 million in promises to its employees and was $117 million short of meeting those promises. Uncorrected, these employee promises would grow in 30 years to a stunning $1.6 billion. Promises impossible to meet. That is the story of Stockton, California, San Bernardino, California, Mammoth Lakes, California, Scranton, Pennsylvania, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, Jefferson County, Alabama, Central Falls, Rhode Island, and numerous untold cities across America. It was my judgment that failure to immediately address this pension obligation shortfall would result in loss of police officers, firefighters, infrastructure support, and dramatically erode arts and social service funding. A substantial tax increase would be inevitable. The Mayor's Pension Review Task Force made a list of potential solutions, each of which would prove difficult and painful. The task force made its report to the City Council on September 19, 2011. I asserted at that meeting that I would symbolically vote against any future city manager's budget unless a plan was in place to meet the following three conditions. Number one, all pension plans must be 80% funded by the year 2032. Number two, expectations for pension plan growth must be lowered from 8% to 7% annually. And number three, pension funding must occur without a tax increase. I believe now, as I believe then, that pension plan funding is not a political problem. Rather, pension plan funding is a math problem. X plus Y equals Z. Z is the money owed to employees in 20 years. Actuaries can estimate that number. X is the employee contribution to the employee pension plans. Y is the city's contribution to the employee pension plans. X plus Y equals Z. Frankly, I believed I was setting a very high bar, one that City Manager Mike Mathis would have great difficulty crossing. But I love being pleasantly surprised. I am so impressed that this process has involved diligence and an amazing collaboration between city administrators and city employee groups. Contrary to the experience throughout the country, Columbia's process has been characterized by a remarkable lack of contention and by incredible determination. I now would like to introduce Brad Frazier, who represented Columbia Professional Firefighters Local 1055. Without Brad Frazier's leadership, none of this would have been possible.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd like to recognize Steve Forrest. Steve is the new president of Columbia Professional Firefighters. And our Deputy Chief White. This is a big deal. If you look around the country, look around the state, there's a lot of municipalities, a lot of employees litigating these issues and spending a lot of taxpayer dollars, a lot of money, and that didn't happen here. I think there were two things that really set the stage for this outcome. One was the mayor making this a math problem. That allowed us to take the personal side out of it and fix the math problem. The other thing that really helped was City Manager Mathis, and at his direction, Finance Director John Blattle, and the tone they set in these meetings. It was not contentious. We were there to solve the math problem, and we're very proud at where we've arrived. I would also point out that there are several employees in the fire department, four actually, that are in the loggers employee group, but the rest of the fire department is in the fire pension plan. This was a long process. It involved a lot of hours, again, tremendous cooperation. When we started a little over 2 years ago, the targeted savings based on 2010 data was $23.9 million. That grew to $27.1 million when the 2011 data became available. By creating a second tier within our pension plan with a different set of benefits for new firefighters and agreeing to eliminate the city's 401A match, we were able to save over $26 million over a 20-year period. So we're very proud to have reached an agreement that helps the city meet its needs while ensuring competitive benefits for Columbia professional firefighters. While we were working on the fire pension plan, Columbia police officers were working on the police pension plan. So I'd like to introduce John Dye.
Thank you, Brad. First, I'd like to thank Chief Burton for being here. Mr. Blattle for working with us, City Manager for working with us. This is a problem that we are very appreciative that the city came to the employee groups and wanted to work with us instead of just saying this is how it's going to be. The CPOA, or the Police Officers Pension Plan, is made up of all sworn officers in the police department. All the community service aides and all the civilian employees are covered under the Loggers Plan, which Carol will talk about shortly. There was, besides myself on our pension committee, there were two other police department employees on the committee, if they could stand up. It's Officer Clint Sinclair and Lieutenant Shelley Jones, as well as our Executive Director, Ashley Cuttle, who's not here today. As Brad said, this has been a long and challenging issue. When the Police Officers Association first began working on this process, we were asked to find a savings of $16.1 million based on 2010 numbers. When the September 2011 actuarial report came out and the numbers came out, that number jumped to $17.6 million. Our organization agreed to reduce benefits for future police officers and to give up the 401A match to meet that $17.6 million. Just on the 401A match, it's approximately $3.6 million that'll save the city. And on the reduced benefits for future hires, that's a little over $14 million. We're proud that we were able to work and accept an acceptable agreement with the city. And I want to thank everybody again that helped tackle this issue. This couldn't be done by just one person. It had to be a group effort between both employees and administration. So I'm now going to ask Carol Wilson to come up. She's a human resource manager, and she was the spokesperson for the loggers group.
Thank you, John. I'd like to recognize the loggers working group. If you are on that committee, would you mind standing up, please? We represent the loggers employees, which consist of two categories, general employees and water and light utility employees. In my work as the human resources department, I am well aware of the need for the city to constantly balance the cost of benefits and the financial realities of our community. As the loggers group began working, we were asked to find pension savings of $9.5 million over 20 years. We were able to find these savings by eliminating what's known as the 80 and out rule for new employees. This rule allows employees to combine age with the years of service to retire before the age of 60. I want to personally thank the city manager, Mike Mathis, and the finance director, John Blattle, for opening up the discussions to employees and getting their input through employee surveys. The city manager is here to share his thoughts and to open up the floor for your questions.
Well, this is remarkable, as you can tell. Very few cities are trying to solve this problem in the way we've managed to do. Now, the remarkable thing is these folks solved the problem. It wasn't me. It wasn't a political process. It was a math problem that we were solving. So you don't have to look too far to find the opposite end of that approach. You know, the cities that are in protracted battles, quite honestly, wasting taxpayer money on what is a foregone conclusion outcome. So I'm very proud to stand with these people and show you good and faithful public service. So they have come up with the solution. None of the ideas we're looking at today were put on the table by the management, by me. These are plans that were developed by them and put on the table. I couldn't be more proud to recommend them to council. You'll see it on the council agenda on Monday. This is, the solutions put on the table by employees. And they've put $50 million on the table over the next 20 years. That's incredible. That's taxes that will not have to be charged. That is massive layoffs that will not have to happen. If you look around the country, that's the only way cities have to solve this problem, this math problem. You will see cities that have laid off half the police department, have taken every public employee to minimum wage. You've heard of that. We are not going to have that problem because of the service of the people standing behind me and the employees they represent. And again, I couldn't be more proud to be associated with them. With that, I think I'd like to ask the mayor to come back up and we can take questions if you have any.